You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
I have a level of expertise, and I have a level of information that nobody else has.
Of The Drive underway, Fox Sports Knoxville. Buckle up, it's quitting time on your Wednesday. Is it raining out there? I said it's supposed to rain. It's supposed to be nasty tonight.
It's kind of misty.
A little
it's
misty.
Cold.
A little nasty.
Cold. Oh yeah.
A little cold. A little gross out there. Be careful.
Like you wouldn't. You don't. Nobody needs to be outside tonight.
Be careful.
Death of cold.
You're driving around tonight. You'll catch cold. Oh, you'll catch cold. It'll be so cold out. We welcome you in. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for tuning in to the show this afternoon. Been all over the place breaking down the basketball game last night, breaking down Tennessee football, heading into a pivotal matchup this weekend with Missouri. Dan Harrelson, Thunder Dan, VolsWire.com will be with us here in about half an hour breaking things down for us here on the show this afternoon. Let's see what the Twidiots are saying. I love the Twidiots, man. I say that with love, you know? You know?
Sure.
Jamie says, Barnes finally signed a five-star and it only took three-plus short years.
That Jamie, he's a funny guy.
Thought you were about to say something else for a minute. I was like, whoa! Bear about to drop an F-bomb in drive time.
Nah.
Not going to be good.
Not me.
A lot of people saying Titans Bill punked you earlier on the show today.
Titans Bill's off his medication. He needs to take some Metamucil, watch another episode of Matlock, and that's it. He always says all this stuff that's just like not true. I don't.
You calling Titans Bill fake news?
Calling Titans Bill a crazy old man.
Wow. Wow.
Elder abuse here on the drive.
Firing back, huh?
Yeah. His team's garbage.
Not garbage, man.
They are straight garbage.
We're 5-4. We're about to be 6-4.
No, you're not.
We're going to win the AFC South and go back to the playoffs. Got a quarterback who's playing really well right now. We've got the best defense in football.
No, you don't.
Statistically, yes, we do. We have the lowest scoring defense in professional football. That's an indisputable fact. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, big boy. Titans coming after your team, Brandon. Get some.
I'm not scared of you, Russ.
Get some.
And I'm not scared of your lame-ass Titans.
We'll see what you...
I'd rather have the Rams defense.
Titans get set to do the Colts what the Vols did to the Kentucky Wildcats. Just hold you down, rub your nose in it. What Tennessee did to Georgia Tech last night, just smother you in defense. Do you know who Harold Landry is, Brandon?
Honor Landry.
I think his name's Harold.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
he's
about to put his helmet into Andrew Luck's spine. You know that thing Peyton had where he had like his neck fused together? He had like a bionic neck made for him. It made him miss like 2 years of football and pretty much ruined his arm strength.
Last year got you Titans fans feeling pretty good. I think you forget that you all lost like 13 straight games to the Colts. 13 straight games.
Ancient
That's a period
history.
over six years in the NFL. A league built for parity. Built on parity. You couldn't beat a team in your same division for six years.
Go ahead and run that mouth. Go ahead and run that mouth.
You're
trash
the one
talking,
that started.
Brandon Orick. I don't know what you're talking about.
You started.
Go ahead and run that
you
mouth.
You and Titans
see what
Bill
happens.
Started
see what happens.
This.
See what happens. Do you see what happens, Brandon? This is what happens.
It's your fault, Russ.
Bob on Twitter says, you guys think we see Chris if it gets into a shootout this week? I don't know if this is serious. Can't be serious, right?
If it gets
really
into a shootout.
We're still We're still doing this?
Why? My question, why would you see Chris if it's a shootout? That means we're putting up
yeah,
points.
That's a good point. Yeah, we're scoring points and we're going to bench the quarterback just to see Chris. That can't be real, right? I mean, listen, what I said a couple of weeks ago, even before the Kentucky game, is I'm moving on. Like, if you want to continue this ridiculous quarterback, there is no quarterback controversy. There's just not. You're not going to see Keller Christ at all this year unless Garantano gets hurt this weekend.
What do you make of people still ripping Garantano?
It's stupid. It's just it's pointless, man. Like, he is your quarterback. Is he the second coming of Peyton? No, of course not. But is he A.J. Suggs? No.
He's better than A.J. Suggs.
He's a fine game manager.
Is he Crompton after Crompton with Kiffin? Is he that good?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, it's actually a pretty good comparison. I mean, they're pretty similar. They're very good off play action. They're not. They both hold the ball a little bit too long. Neither one are very nimble. Crompton was probably actually a better runner than Garantano.
A little bit thicker.
Yeah. I just think Garantano's the quarterback, man. Like, why do we have to relitigate this each week?
We've got two games left in the season.
He's your quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, why do we have to do this every single week?
I don't know. Some people have an agenda.
I mean, do you think now, is he your quarterback next year? I don't know. We can have that conversation.
I think it depends on those freshmen coming in.
Is he going to be your quarterback of the future? I don't know. But he's your quarterback of the present, and that's not up for debate. It hasn't been. Like, I kind of get it the first month of the season, or you're wondering where he's at. And even, okay, Keller Christ comes in against Alabama and flashes a little bit. And, okay, like, hey, I was right there with you. He looked pretty good. But the bottom line is Jeremy Pruitt and Tyson Helton are not – we're not switching QBs. Not in the 11th game of the season. It's done. It's over. This is Garantano's team. And it's going to be Garantano's team in spring because Christ is gone. Shrout has zero experience, and the Maurer kid is not going to come in straight out of high school and beat out Jarrett Garantano, who at that point will have, what, 20 SEC starts under his belt? So that's not going to happen. Now, could things change next fall or once we get into the season? If Shrout looks good in spring, maybe. I don't know. We can have that conversation, but no, we're not going to see Keller Christ this weekend. I'm glad that he came here. I hope he's enjoyed his time in Knoxville. I hope he had a great experience. I hope he doesn't feel like he made the wrong call coming here because he didn't play.
Well, yeah, he made the wrong call.
I don't know. Did he come here to play specifically? Or did
yeah.
He
yeah, I think he did.
Okay. Well, if his feelings are hurt, his feelings are hurt. I'm sorry.
I'm not saying his feelings are hurt, but he definitely made the wrong decision.
But I don't think that Jeremy Pruitt and Tyson Helton necessarily did. They played the guy that gives us the best chance to win. I'm right. Not buying any of these conspiracy theories about they wanted Garantano because he's going to be here later. I think they looked at practice and said, this is the guy that takes care of the ball. This is the more accurate passer. This is the leader, the guy that the team responds to. This is our quarterback. They would not sacrifice games just to prove a point that really hasn't even been articulated by any. I don't know what the point would be. They play Garantano because he's the better quarterback. Just is. Anyway, I don't mean to go down that road, but no. You're not going to see Keller Christ this weekend. Stop. Are we going to do this next week too? No matter what happens, against Missouri, are we going to have this conversation again next week? We've had it every week of the season. I'm sick of it. I can't do it anymore.
At this point, we might as well. And if we make a bowl
just
game,
pencil it in.
Yeah, and if we make a bowl game,
you can do it again too. A whole month of December, we get to talk about whether or not Christ is going to play in the bowl game. That's fun.
Sure,
that's
why not?
Yeah, that's nice.
I don't understand it. Has he had some bad games? Sure. But a lot of people on this team have had bad games.
I think he's, like I said, I think he's been fine. And I think the offensive line situation puts an asterisk next to any accomplishment he's had or hasn't had. And it's just, you know, you make the Crompton comparison. Well, that team had Monterio Hardesty. It was a 1,000-yard rusher that year.
Mm-hmm.
Because
they had a lot better line, too.
Well, they had the Sullins twins on there, but you had Chris Scott, an NFL left tackle on that team, who played better than Trey Smith did, even when he was healthy.
I'd take the Sullen twins right now over.
That's a fair point. I would take the Sullins twins over Ryan Johnson and Nathan Niehaus. Yes. Yes, I would take those walk-ons over Butch Jones's scholarship players. No offense to those kids. They've fought hard, and they played all right the other day, too, but they ain't going to be starting next year.
Who's that kid from Farragut that played with, like, a broken
– Oh, man, Nathan Gillum. Was it Gilliam?
Jacob Gillum. Yeah.
His brother Nathan plays for Wake Forest now.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that dude was – tough. Was he there the Kiffin year? Was that the Kiffin year that he played?
No, he was there with Butch. It was a year.
That's right.
We opened with Utah State.
Well, he had actually worked himself into where he was going to be a really good player, and then he tore his knee up in like the first game of the year.
Against Utah State, wasn't it? The Sunday night Utah State game.
And he just played through it.
Yeah. He braced it.
Did he miss a game and then he came back and just played with one ACL?
Yeah. They just had monster braces.
He did the Jason Mitchell. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You love those kids, man. And we got some of those kids.
Garantano's
that guy. Yeah, I mean, he's the Black Knight back there. He is a crash test dummy playing quarterback. He just gets destroyed every single game, just about every single play. Every time he drops back to pass, there is at least a 50-50 chance, if not better, that he's going to get
I'd like to go back
next Tuesday.
One of the linemen tweeted out, I felt kind of bad because we've kind of got at him on the show, and he still is just a college kid, but he tweeted out about, he didn't give up a sack, but he said something about, according to Twitter, he still sucks. And I mean, we'll go that far, but, not giving up a sack isn't the same thing as keeping your quarterback clean. Sure, you didn't give up a sack. But the guy you were supposed to block still hit the quarterback like 8 or 9 times.
I was talking about this with a guy who played O-line at UT in the late 90s this week. And what he said to me, and, it's not my style to pat myself on the back and say I told you so. But,
here we go.
I mean, this goes without saying, like, if you can just get lined up, even if you're undersized, if you know your assignment and you're a 285-pound offensive guard, mm-hmm. if you know your assignment and you can go and at least get in front of the 300-pound defensive tackle that you're supposed to block, and even if he ragdolls you, well, if he has to spend a second and a half ragdolling you, that's the difference between the quarterback getting the pass off or not.
Yeah, you just can't whiff.
Yeah, and that's what we've had so much is whiffs.
Well,
guys,
we got a bunch of whiffers.
Just unimpeded to the quarterback.
Unabated.
Either one. If you could just get in front, like, just go lie down, just
tackle
him, dive at the guy's knees, chop block him, like, whatever you got to do, just get in his way enough to slow him down
so he doesn't hit Jared Garantano again,
or you just give Garantano an extra half second to get the throw away. I think that's kind of what we were able to do against Kentucky, that we weren't, especially early in the season against West Virginia, against Florida, where we're just, guys are just whiffing, and Garantano's back there just getting his brains beat out. All right, quick timeout. It is The Drive. It is Fox Sports Knoxville. Open up the phone lines here, 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show, 546-8200. If you want to chime in on The Drive, it's Fox Sports Knoxville. Stay with us.
It's time for Bears Dullard of the Day.
Got a real winner today, Russ.
Yeah.
Dateline Fitchburg, Massachusetts. A Fitchburg State University basketball player, Russ, has been indefinitely suspended from the team and barred from campus for apparently, not apparently, he did it, for throwing an elbow into an opponent's face.
Yeah, I saw the video of this. It's awful.
Yeah. With Fitchburg State trailing Nichols College 73-63, freshman guard Nate Tanaglia of Tewksbury launches a three. You like how I made it through that part? Launches a three on a breakaway. As Tanaglia returns to the ground, Platt apparently glances over his shoulder at the referee before throwing an elbow right into the guard's face.
And it was like the kid's got a wide open three in the corner.
He buried it.
And the defender runs along the baseline right into his – it just forearm shivers. Like, it's a vicious elbow. Like, the kid probably – it looks like the kind of elbow that would break a jaw, break a nose, like – knock you unconscious. It was a brutal hit.
He was
completely not a basketball player. Like, he did it on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very Akeem Olajuwon. The Massachusetts State Collegiate Athletic Conference released a statement Wednesday afternoon saying the organization is considering further sanctions against Fitchburg State University. It doesn't show a good side of the school. Fitchburg student Eric Patel said Wednesday afternoon, it kind of ruins the school's reputation. Other than that, it's just unsportsmanlike.
Other than that, everything's
here's
good.
The kicker. The conference also said that Kawan Platt's previous Player of the Week award had been vacated.
He was Player of the Week the week before they
took
revoked
that away.
The award.
His behavior goes against the MASCAC's mission, which include MASCAC's. MASCAC's.
That's her, like, nickname?
Yeah, that's her conference. Mission, which includes good sportsmanship. We have been told.
Well, I've saw
here's a big thing. We've been Fitchburg State University police are investigating.
Yeah, that was the thing to me. Is like, that's assault, man. Like, he should have been arrested. Like, forget his stupid award and being suspended from the team. Like, he needs to go to jail, man. Like, he ran up and just clobbered some kid.
They should be charged with simple assault. That's what it was.
That gets into an area, like, we have this conversation every now and then, like on the football field or on a hockey rink or something like that. Like, Kermit Washington, you know, was that a, like, what, at what point does it go beyond this is a game?
Vontaze Burfict against Antonio Brown in that playoff game. He should have been arrested. I mean, he's got football, man.
Like, I think, I don't remember that exact play. Was that a helmet-to-helmet collision?
No, it was basically what this basketball thing was. It was the ball, he wasn't going to catch the ball.
Did you see the high school one in Texas where – on a kickoff return, like the kid.
Oh, power. Did the power bomb
him and then, like,
power bomb?
And started choking him on the ground. Like, to me, that's. No, a police officer needs to come over, put that young man in cuffs in his uniform, throw him in the back of the van, and take him down to the station.
It did happen in hockey. I can't remember who it was. Somebody did. Somebody got charged criminally for something that happened on the ice.
Yeah. Was it. Oh, man. Who was that? I know exactly. I remember that. It was maybe 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Was it? He just took his stick and just clubbed the guy
in
the face?
Yeah, he cheap shot him from behind. The guy hit, you know, face first into the ice, I think. I mean, it wasn't as bad as what Racky did on Youngblood.
Somebody will hit us on Twitter with that.
That
was a big story, yeah.
Remember that in Youngblood when he skated up behind a young Patrick Swayze and took his helmet off?
I don't remember that.
And then hit him and knocked his head bounced off the ice. He had a subdural hematoma. It was terrible, Russ.
I've got one for you. You know, my dullard? And this story is actually a week old. I've been sitting on it. Can't deprive you of this one. A self-styled positivity guru from the Netherlands wants to change his age. Not his sex, not his name, not his race, not his ethnicity, his age. Emil Rattleband.
It's a great name.
69-year-old Dutchman, TV personality, has asked, he's taken this to court. He's asked the court in the Netherlands to approve his request for a new birth date that officially would make him 49.
How old is he?
He's 69. He wants
nice.
To go.
It's not going to work, bro.
He wants to go down to 49. Rattleband says his legal appeal is consistent with other forms of personal transformation that are gaining acceptance and government recognition. in the Netherlands, around the world. He said on Thursday, quote, "With this freedom of choice, choice of name, freeness of gender, I want to have my own age. I want to control myself." See? See? It's where, like, people say, well, you know, you're a man and you want to be a lady now or vice versa. And then, like, somebody else says, well, where does it end, man? Where does it stop? You want to be a horse, too? And, like, people say, oh, that's ridiculous, man. Like, you're just being xenophobic. Like, you're being a hater or whatever. But then this guy comes along. Like, if you don't think that's ridiculous, I'm sorry. You're kind of weird. You're 69, dude. You can't be 49. As a matter of fact, you can't be 68. You can't be 70. Like, it's not up for debate. You simply are however old you are.
I mean, it's just one of those things. You can't change it.
So whenever somebody says, well, where does it end, man? Where does it end? Like, I think, can we all agree in this troubled time of political discontent and discord, of disharmony nationwide, worldwide, I would think it would be really nice if we could all get together and just agree as a human species. This is where it ends. You don't get to choose your age. You just are what you are. And if you're older than dirt, too bad. Not too bad. Great for you. You made it. You're still alive. You're 106. You can't just say you're 84 because you feel like it. Yeah, I understand. Age is just a number. But it's also an incontrovertible scientific fact. There's nothing you can do to change your age. What about this, though? What about this? What about this? When they figure out the Futurama technology, right, and they put our heads in tanks to keep us alive when our bodies give out, is that a new birthday? If my body shuts down at the age of 86 and I get my head put in the Futurama tank and I'm still alive, and I got a little robot body with my head in a tank, brain still working, still me, do I get to start over? Am I one at that point, or am I 87? Huh? There's a philosophical dilemma for you, Brandon Orrick.
No, you're 87, dude.
Why?
Because.
Body's gone.
Your
I'm
head's
a new man.
87.
Is my head my body? What is your mind? Where is your mind? Like the Pixies. Like that song? Nothing? All right. No. Let's take a quick break then.
Don't have
the drive continues here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Coming up, we'll visit with our friend Dan Harrelson from VolsWire.com. Does a great job covering the Vols. We'll get his thoughts on the game this weekend with Missouri, Tennessee's offensive line struggles, and the return of one Derek Dooley.
What an idiot.
Saturday at Neyland Stadium. Stay with us. It's The Drive. Fox Sports Knoxville. We'll be right back. Dan Harrelson, VolsWire.com, joining us this afternoon on The Drive. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Russell. How's it going?
Hey, man. Doing well. How about you?
Doing pretty well. It's going to be a pretty interesting game Saturday between Missouri and Tennessee.
Yeah, man. It's a big one. And I think that some Tennessee fans are kind of, instead of maybe penciling this in the win column or chiseling it in stone, which I think is a little – putting the cart before the horse, so to speak. I think this Missouri team, the difference between this and the Kentucky game, Dan, is this Missouri team's going to score points. They're not going to come in here and just put up 7 points, you know. So I think that this is going to be a game in the fourth quarter, and we're going to have to see Garantano in this offense make some plays to keep drives alive and maybe even put points on the board, which is not something they had to do against Auburn or against Kentucky, because the game was pretty much in hand. They just kind of had to hold on for dear life. We had to do it against South Carolina, and they couldn't get it done. So, to me, that's a major question mark.
Yeah, I think with this Missouri offense, that they're pretty balanced. Of course, Drew Locke, he does what he does through the air, and with Roundtree in the backfield, he's having a pretty good season too. Derek Dooley's actually called pretty good plays throughout the year. little bit of balance there. I was talking to Vince Dooley, his dad, yesterday, and he was kind of impressed how much he still has been able to incorporate what Drew Locke can do through the air, but still have more of a pro-style attack, something that he wants to really go towards after this year, after Drew Locke leaves. And I just think defensively, Missouri's a lot like Kentucky. Kentucky came into last week, I believe it was 117th nationally against the pass, and Tennessee was able to open up the run game, rush for 200 yards by throwing the ball, and that gave them a chance to really have a ground game against Kentucky. And Missouri's coming into this matchup 118th in the nation against the pass. So we may see a similar game plan from Tyson Helton with this Tennessee offense trying to really throw the ball just to open up this ground game.
No, I mean, you're 118th against the pass. I mean, I'm no football genius, Dan, but that's kind of where I'd start, man. Attack that secondary, that weak back end, and, like you say, see if they don't have to drop back and play coverage against you, and that would make things easier, I would think, for Ty Chandler and Tim Jordan.
Right, and it'd be kind of interesting to see how much Dominic Wood Anderson is available. I think he's got a little shoulder issue going on. I think he's still supposed to play, but he really kind of stood out last week in the Kentucky
game. Yeah, that was his best game.
Yeah, if you can have any presence there at tight end, I think that'd be huge.
Talk with Dan Harrelson. You can check him out at VolsWire.com, at Dan Harrelson on Twitter. And Dad, you mentioned you got to speak to Vince Dooley a little bit, as Derek Dooley's return is getting a lot of pub this week. You know, former Georgia players had a lot of negative things to say about Jeremy Pruitt coming into the season. I thought that was a little strange. What did Vince Dooley have to say about Jeremy Pruitt after seeing him up close for 2 years in Athens?
Well, he had nothing but praise. He knew from his time in Georgia, with Vince still being there close to the program and everything, that he knew Jeremy was going to be a good coach and eventually a good head coach. And that kind of goes back to what you said with some former Georgia football players at SEC Media Days before the season. It just kind of verifies that they wanted to take a few shots from Aaron Murray, and I believe it was David Pollack, and it's kind of backfired on them, especially when you have guys like Vince Dooley who have praise for Jeremy Pruitt. So I think that kind of speaks volumes for Pruitt, and especially what he's doing. Vince was very impressed that he went down to Auburn and beat Auburn, got that win last month, and then not just beating Kentucky, but the way Jeremy Pruitt and his coaching staff put a game plan together to dominate Kentucky, really from the very beginning of that game.
You know, there's a lot of fan speculation about potential staff changes in the offseason, particularly with Tyson Helton, the offensive coordinator. What's your take on that? Do you think that we'll see staff changes after this season, or do you think that Jeremy Pruitt will just say, you know what, yes, Tyson Helton didn't exactly cover himself in glory at times this season, but there aren't many offensive coordinators who could, given the state of the offensive line that he inherited that he really had nothing to do with?
I don't think there's going to be any changes, but you never know. Going into this year, I thought this staff, that this initial staff that he put together, would be here at least 2 years, maybe three, unless somebody like a Chris Winkie went to Florida State or somebody got promoted to a coordinator spot at a different school, or maybe like a Joe Osovet went to another school as a position coach. But I don't know. I don't know if it's that bad off like some people speculate with Tyson Helton. I do know that people close to the situation, he's been handcuffed with this offensive line. In the last three games, they finally, ever since Trey Smith got sidelined, unfortunately, with the health issue, they pieced together offensive line the last three games that's been the same starting five. So maybe they're starting to get something there with this group, and maybe that's why they're playing a little bit better. But he has been handcuffed in play calling throughout the early part of the season. I do know that. And I just don't know if there's going to be any coaching changes at this point going into the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, my opinion on it is if you bring in a new quarterback's coach offensive coordinator, it's going to be four guys in 4 years for Garantano. And maybe he's not your guy of the future. You know, we were talking about that before you came on. You know, maybe he's just a placeholder quarterback until you can get Shroud up to speed or you can sign somebody better, bring in, I don't know, Jalen Hurts or you know, whatever you want to do. But it just seems to me like you're trying to establish some consistency, some continuity in your program. Changing offensive play callers after year one would not send that message. Just my opinion.
Right, and Garantano, he's gotten a little bit better the last few games, which is good to see, and his footwork's getting a little bit better, and that's something that Tyson specializes going through spring ball. So it would be neat to see how much Jarrett Garantano can continue to get better. It's still not pretty with him out on the field, but there's respect from his teammates, and there's just this team's really coming together, not just with him, but other players on the team. So it's really kind of good to see with Jarrett out there at this point.
Visiting with Dan Harrelson, you can read his work at VolsWire.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Dan Harrelson. Dan, your thoughts on a potential bowl game? I know Tennessee has to win one more to get there first. First of all, like, what do you think their record will be in these final two games? And assuming that they're able to win one, what do you think of as far as a possible bowl destination?
Well, before the season, I had them at 7-5 going to the Liberty Bowl. I still think that's real possible. Two games ago against Charlotte, Liberty Bowl had some reps there, and they told me if Tennessee can do their job, then they're going to do their job to try to get them to that bowl game in Memphis. But at the same time, there is a pecking order, so I don't know if it would actually fall to Tennessee's way or if they can politic the balls to get to Memphis. But these last two games, I think they can definitely split. Splitting would definitely get the Birmingham Bowl at 6-6. But I think there's a shot Saturday against Missouri, and I think they can probably win out and maybe secure that spot in Memphis with 7 wins, which they will need to get definitely for Memphis. But with the politicking and all that, they may still be able to get that Liberty Bowl with 6 wins.
When you look at the group of 5-6 bowls, whatever it is that's jumbled up, and the SEC commissioner basically places teams in those bowls, Tennessee has recruiting interest in pretty much all those cities. And the Belk Bowl's in Charlotte, the Liberty Bowl in Memphis, obviously, Shreveport, you know, all kinds of players down in Louisiana, Birmingham, obviously, Jeremy Pruitt, deep Alabama roots. I'm sure that that would be – he'd be able to spin that to his advantage. Is there, in your mind, a place that works best as far as helping Tennessee showcase what Jeremy Pruitt's program is all about to recruits in those surrounding areas?
Well, I think it would be Memphis and the Liberty Bowl, just because the whole time on the Big Orange Caravan earlier this year in May, that he always mentioned Memphis. That was the hotbed that he sees in the state for recruiting. So I think he would like to get there. By playing in that bowl game, though, you're going to match up with a Big 12 team, maybe like an Oklahoma State. So I don't know if that's the best matchup to have for a win going into a game. But if you go to Birmingham, I think you'll play an American Conference team. That should be a sure win, and you'll have a winning season. So, like you said, there's recruiting in Birmingham too, but I think he definitely wants to try to get to Memphis, but it would be a tougher matchup.
All right, good stuff, my man. Dan, let us know what you're working on over at VolsWire.com.
Yeah, just more stuff leading up on Missouri for the game Saturday.
All right, we're looking forward to it. Dan, always appreciate your time, my man. Thanks for jumping on.
All right, thank you.
Dan Harrelson making his presence felt. Again, you can read his work at VolsWire.com and follow him on Twitter, at Dan Harrelson. Hey, Bear.
Mm-hmm.
What does an angry pepper do?
I have no idea, Russ.
It gets jalapeno face.
You're an idiot.
Bear would say it gets jalapeno face.
Jalapeno face.
Jalapeno.
Take a quick time out.
Do you know Lindsey Buckingham's playing tonight?
In Knoxville?
Yeah, at the Bijou.
By himself?
Mm-hmm. Solo. Yeah, he got thrown out of Fleetwood Mac again.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going?
No.
You big Lindsey Buckingham fan?
Yeah, but I've seen him a bunch and met him one time. He's kind of a jerk.
More like Lindsey Suckingham. Am I right?
No, you're not.
Stay with us. The shocking conclusion of the drive coming up. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on board, 546-8200. We'll be right back. Shut your mouth. Fox Sports Knoxville, the drive continues. You forgot checking a record, Braden. What are you doing? You just had to play some Skinner, didn't you?
You didn't tell me.
Freaking Jeremy Pruitt.
I told
over here.
You. I said we're coming back with checking a record.
Well, I'm sorry.
Last break, and we hadn't done it.
Well, I'm sorry, but I don't take orders from you.
He had to play some Skinner.
I take orders from
what?
I don't take orders from you. I take orders from Russell as far as what comes next in the show.
You correct him on this whole chain of command thing.
Darn right.
You'll do what you're told, Brandon.
Check it or wreck it on the drive.
Check it or wreck it. Brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl, the official law offices of the drive.
The Missouri game will be Juwan Jennings' last game in Neyland Stadium.
I'm going to wreck that. I think he comes back next year. He's been bunged up this year. He needs to come back and have a season without injury.
I'm going to check it. I think he's gone.
Yeah, I'll check it too. I hope he comes back, but I think he's done.
Seems like he's been here forever now, doesn't it?
It's kind of sad, man. They should let him run through the tee just in case. Like, maybe the most beloved player of this rather forgettable era.
Well, yeah, because he got as crazy angry about last year as we did.
He's one of us. He's out there on the field.
He's a fan.
Tennessee should save J.J. Peterson's redshirt. He's played in three games. So one more is all he gets. We've got two, maybe three more games. Should we sit him for a game to save the redshirt?
Does the bowl game count?
Yes.
I'd save it. I'd save it.
I'm going to wreck it. I'm going to wreck it because, first of all, you need to win every game. Like, and he's playing now. He's a key special teams guy. And second of all, if he's as good as everybody says he is, he might leave early anyway. So, like, why would you sacrifice again? Like,
what happens if he gets hurt sometime the next year or two? Use it then.
Yeah, I mean, you have it in your back pocket as a – you could do it later. I mean, I hope that doesn't happen. But
Me either.
I wouldn't do it. You guys would?
Yeah, I'd save his red shirt.
Going to the Liberty Bowl would suck.
Yes. Nobody wants to go to Memphis in January.
No, I'll wreck it.
December. I'm wrecking it. I'll go. I mean, I won't go, but it's fine.
You going down there, Brandon?
I might. I've never been to Memphis.
You won't go to Memphis, you liar.
Watch me. We go to Memphis, watch.
Big-time prospects everywhere in football and basketball, mind you. Let's go plant that big orange flag right in Penny Hardaway's backyard and say to those kids, listen, you want to get out of this hellhole, don't go to Tiger High. Come over to East Tennessee. You got the beautiful mountains. The women are prettier. The education is better. And the sports are better, too. The coaching you'll receive is better. Why would you want to stay here? That's what I say. That's what I say. SEC announcing that the SEC tournament in basketball will be held in Nashville every year through 2035.
Good news for Tennessee.
Tennessee will win an SEC tournament during that time frame.
Check it.
And it's what, 2018 now?
It's a big wreck-it. I realized this years ago. I realized it after we lost to Mississippi State in the Pearl game. You know, we went to overtime with the Vernado team. We're never winning the SEC tournament. It hit me crystal clear in the face like a ton of bricks. We're never winning. We're just not going to. And once you come to accept that, that week becomes a lot easier. So I'll say I'll wreck it.
I'll check it just because. So it has to. It has to happen eventually. It has to.
You would think so. You would think so, but not me. That is Check It or Wreck It, brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrell, the official law offices of The Drive. Check them out online at wreckintoacheck.com. And check them out tomorrow live at Corner 16 for the 7th annual Ogle, Elrod, and Burrell Turkey Drop. Really looking forward to this. One of our favorite events of the year. Ogle, Elrod, and Burrell teaming up with Fan Run Radio in Corner 16 to give away free Thanksgiving turkeys. That's right, they're free. You come in and walk right out. Come in, we'll give you the bird. They're frozen turkeys, so you got to take it home, obviously, throw it in the freezer. But it's first come, first serve. We'll be there setting up a little bit before 3 o'clock, and we'll start giving away at 3. And if you want one, you should try and get there. I would suggest you get there earlier because I think we ran out of turkeys. It was either right at 4 or right at 4:30 last year.
I didn't think they lied. They didn't last that long last year.
I thought they lasted roughly an hour. I don't know. Just come out, swing by, show some love. We really appreciate this. It's kind of the unofficial kickoff to the holiday season for us here at Fan Run Radio. So that's going to be tomorrow. Corner 16, one of our favorite places. Great food, great beer. We like beer.
Drank beer. I liked beer. Still like beer.
Yes. It's going to be good, Judge. Come on out and see us tomorrow at Corner 16, 1640 Bob Kirby Road on the corner of Bob Kirby and Middlebrook, right across from the big food city in the ball camp area right before you get to Hardin Valley. You can't miss it. Corner 16 tomorrow. Finally, The Drive comes back to Corner 16 for the 7th annual Ogle, Elrod, and Burrell Turkey Drop. Gentlemen, give me a parting thought as we get set to wrap up this evening.
Have you been listening to this SI thing they've been doing, this Fall of a Titan, the Steve McNair story?
No.
Yes. I've not been keeping up with it, but John was in here one day, and he was watching part of it. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very.
They did a 30 for 30, right?
This is like a 9 or 10 part
podcast.
Podcast investigate. It's like, yeah. Like maybe his
very interesting.
Like maybe his mistress didn't kill him.
Really?
Yeah.
Like he killed himself?
No.
Like somebody else killed him?
Yeah.
No.
Well, I don't think he killed himself, Russell. He got shot in the chest twice and once in each temple.
Yeah, by his crazy lover.
I don't know. I'm going to listen to it tonight and see what's up. I'll report back to you guys about it.
This sounds like some 9/11 was an inside job conspiracy theory nut job.
Sports Illustrated.
Job stuff. So? Okay. You give it a listen, report back. Maybe you can convince me. Big thanks to Nicholas Esteban Taylor for all his hard work here, helping us out here. He'll be with us tomorrow for the turkey drop. For Brandon and Bear, I'm Russell. We got overtime coming up next here on Fan Run Radio. See you tomorrow out at Corner 16.